Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yeah, it happened fast. Coach reached out to me and all the staff reached out to me and they were really interested in me. They thought highly of my game and they think I have a lot to offer to this team. And, you know, really enjoyed my years in LA, but coming to a team like, you know, the Ohio State days where you're really living in a football town with an unbelievable fan base, it's really got me excited.
Joey Bosa, we learned some of the details of his contract, which tell a little bit of a story. And, you know, as we try to read what the Bills are doing in an offseason, where they might go in the draft, the Bosa signing might offer some clues. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. A bluebird day. It's cold enough also to say it's like a bluebird day. It's going to be, you know, chilly for the next couple of weeks. It's 30 right now, high today of 42, but sunny.
That means cold too?
I mean, bluebird day
blue.
Is...
When you're blue,
I don't know if it means blue. It's just when you ski and it's sunny outside, you call it Bluebird Day.
Oh, okay.
So is Bluebird Day used in non-skiing context? Possibly. That's where people say it.
I'm not going to lie. I don't think I've ever heard that phrase before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See if it.
So cold and sunny.
Search it. See if it says skiers say it.
Isn't that in a Christmas song?
Like, yeah,
the term
denoting a period of time characterized by sunny, cloudless weather, typically after a night of snow. After a night of snowfall.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
Christmas song.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, are you thinking of Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder?
Snowmobiles. No, I just remember that being said in like a Christmas song. I feel like.
I believe you.
I don't know. Mr. Bluebird on my shoulder is in Zippity Doodah. Anyway,
it's not a patio day.
Debatable.
You're doing it wearing a pretty thick jacket.
Sunny,
right?
And 42
or
in
medium
in the right layer can feel like 65 if you're in the sun.
Right.
It might be one of those days where the real feel in between sun and shade is, you know, 15 degrees.
If you're like me and you have three levels of jackets, I think the second level jacket will be needed though if you're out on the patio.
Who needs the shorts report? We get the Sneaky Joe jacket report.
The jacket report. The thickest jacket, the medium jackets, and then the light jackets.
We're going with Joe Jacket Level 2 Day today.
Yes.
Everybody be aware, Joe Jacket Level 2.
Yes.
Well, anyway, it's nice out. Nice out, but in the 40s. You could golf in it. I think the coldest I've golfed in is 38. You and I played
with
Sal and Bulldog. It was
a
38.
A fall day, and it was very cold.
Yep.
Very cold. Like hand warmer, like football quarterback hand warmer on your stomach. Cold.
Yeah. 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 Well, anyway, you can give us a call on really anything. So on Joey Bosa and his Bills contract, it's interesting that they've done it the way they've done it. When you hear 1 year, $12 million, you might be inclined to think like this drives home the difference between the NHL and the NFL cap. We live in a city with these two teams. These two leagues have caps. They're so different. 1 year, $12 million. That would mean this player's cap hit is $12 million. End of story. That's it. That's how it works. It's a AAV. That is the cap. In the case of Bosa, so his contract is for 1 year, $12 million. But the cap hit this year is 5.3. He gets cash in $12 million. There's bonuses that could hit as well. Mm-hmm. But he's going to get that money, and his bonuses for caponomics, not likely to be earned bonuses. All that means is you hit a number you did not hit last year.
Mm-hmm.
He had five sacks. If he gets six sacks, he probably gets a bonus starting at six and moving forward. But anyway, it's a dead cap next year of $7 million.
Yeah.
So you have a one-year deal for Bosa. If he lights it up and you extend him, that's great. But a dead cap hit of $7 million next season is possible. So if it doesn't go well, that whole low risk, high reward, it's still low risk. And $7 million to me is not a huge number. But, you know, dead cap adds up, and it would eat into their cap next year if it didn't go well, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, for the Bills to leave themselves with that, Joe, leads me to believe that he is an extension candidate if he stays healthy. And if they like the fit, he, of course, would be an unrestricted free agent. He has no obligation. They don't really have control, but they have incentive to extend him if things go well.
Right. It could. How well does it go, though? Because he's a big name. Mm-hmm. And given that injury has been more the problem in his career rather than production, you know, like he has been on a double-digit sack pace, I think, every year of his career but one, which was last year. You have to do that by pace because some of those seasons he's played like four games or something. So the production's been there. The advanced numbers look pretty good, too. If he comes out and he blows up and the Bills training staff does a better job than... Hey, listen, the Chargers are the franchise in the league you might question for how they keep guys healthy. I don't know that that was a problem for them last year, but haven't they been like often criticized for how their trainers do things? They stabbed Tyrod Taylor in the lung with a needle.
That's a famous
right?
one.
Like I think they got sued for that even. Guys always getting hurt. So Bosa comes in here, and it's a different training staff and a different environment, and he stays healthy, and he has 14 sacks. Like, it goes awesome. They're going to be able to keep him? That's going to be a huge number, probably.
It could be very big.
You talk about a 30-year-old, even at 30, defensive end with incredibly high pedigree, super high draft pick, great production. Now he proved he could stay healthy, and he had a big year. You're going to be – he's going to have a market. He's going to have a lot of market. And that's probably why, for him, he probably only wanted to sign a one-year contract. I would assume rather than take a two-, three-year deal at a lower number, he probably wants to cash out after this year, and that could be here. So I'm open to it going that well. I feel like there's a lot of middle ground, though, that's likely to fall in between. There's so many different range of outcomes with him, where I feel like it's not crazy to think he could have 15 sacks and be awesome and be even like, I don't know about first team all pro good, but maybe like second team all pro good, like one of the better defensive ends in the league good.
There's definitely a track where he makes the Bills look like geniuses.
Yeah. And there's also a track where he just can't stay healthy the whole year.
And to me, that's where.
And then there's a ton of outcomes in the middle.
Yeah. That's where like low risk, high reward is defined by if he's hurt and can't do anything and isn't really a big contributor and he comes up with three sacks in seven games.
You might look dumb because you're also committing $7 million next year to a guy who did nothing for you the year before.
To me, that's where, I don't know if you look dumb. If that happens, that course of action happens, the way I look at it is like, well, you knew that was possible. That's why he was $12 million instead of 30.
Right.
Because baked into the $12 million relatively low salary is, this might not work because he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And then, of course, if you hit it big, then you're going to look like a genius. You bought low on an asset that has shown some great ability over the years. So the thing I want to know next is, are the Bills right now still looking at anything in free agency? Because we talk a lot about receiver. It's almost like they have no corners. Benford's under contract. But he's the big one to wonder about for his next contract.
Yeah.
Rasul Douglas is out there on the market. So is Amari Cooper. The Bills.
Yeah.
Does this say anything about who they are or who they were last year and how they know they need blue chippers, they need avenues for players to be better than Rasul Douglas and Amari Cooper? These two guys being on most NFL free agency lists, the two best players available, they were both on the Buffalo Bills, who are a good team, who have needs at these exact two positions, and the Bills are not yet bringing them back.
Well, it either says they want blue chippers, and maybe they want to hold out in case there's a better idea that comes available at either position, or maybe they want to get significantly younger at both positions.
Sure.
They would rather, instead of signing 31-year-old Amari Cooper and 31-year-old Rasul Douglas, if that's their ages, if it's not as close, they would rather just, we're going to take a stab at a 23-year-old rookie. And just we'd rather just plug in the inexperience in those two roles rather than bring guys back that we have we're not really sure how much they have left in the tank. Or if you trust the Matthew Berry, you know, blurb from a couple weeks ago, they do believe that there isn't anything left for Cooper. So I think that's what it could mean too. I guess that's the same point though, isn't it? That they want the upside of the rookie because they feel like they need a better player at those two positions. And if you sign Cooper and Douglas, you kind of know your ceiling. Right? You know that's not going to be a blue chipper then.
Right.
Because you're pretty much know that's not in there anymore for those two guys. You're hoping at best that they can hold serve for you and just not make big mistakes. You draft a rookie and you're opening up that ceiling of, if you hit on the pick in a way that they haven't really high in the draft recently, then now I've got maybe a great player in those two roles that I don't have if I just bring back the same guys I had.
Question I would have is, how fearful should anybody be? You're talking about opening up the ceiling.
Yeah.
What about the floor?
You'd be opening up the floor, too.
But are they the least bit worried about that? The floor of Amari Cooper versus the floor of a second-round receiver they bring in? Who's got that job instead? Because if Josh Palmer is just the Cooper replacement, I mean, that might be okay.
You might already feel like you have some floor at receiver for that. I think those two positions might be a little different. Corner, it feels like there might not really be a floor.
Right, because
I know they signed Dane Jackson, but
That's depth. And Elam is gone, and he was never a part of it anyway. Like this is the overhaul of the secondary. Hamlin comes back. Hamlin went to the market and ultimately comes back on a cheap deal.
Like, if they draft a corner, Jahdae Barron from Texas, they draft him at 28 over, or at... Where the Bills pick 30th. They pick 30th. They pick him, Barron from Texas. And he comes into camp. And they haven't done almost anything else at corner. It's just Dane Jackson and Jamarcus Ingram behind him. And then Barron shows up and it's Elam 2.0. He just doesn't get it. And he's holding all the time, the boxing gloves, you know, at training camp at St. John Fisher. And they don't trust him. Then, corner two looks like it could be a big problem all year long. If they draft a receiver, they draft Matthew Golden in the first round, and it looks like he's not really getting it, and you know there's some problems here. You'd be missing, you know, that skill set still, but I feel like you'd still have guys to line up and play. And you might feel like, because of Allen too, that's the biggest point here, who your quarterback is, you might feel like you can still get away with it. And if they miss on who their corner two idea is going to be between now and the start of the year, which I think is probably going to be a draft pick, then I feel like that could hurt them a lot. They've had a floor there, and I want to believe that McDermott and the Bills defense has earned enough trust that they could just find a guy to plug in there and have it go okay. But what happens if you don't have, you know, like, for instance, when Benford shows up, Elam's not trustworthy yet. Well, good thing. We got this sixth-round guy that we do trust. He had a great camp, and he's worthy of putting him right in. What if they hadn't done that? What if he wasn't? What if Benford hadn't been the pick?
They would have traded for somebody. I mean, they traded for Douglas.
They would have done something.
Think of the last 2 years. The last 2 years, these exact positions, they've had to make deadline acquisitions to get right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you get to the start of the year and you haven't just smashed on something else that might have been a little bit lucky, either late in the draft or on a 1 year contract, and then the rookie isn't good enough, that's why the corner position right now. It's more imperative that they hit on that one, I think, because of the floor question than it is at receiver or any of the defensive line positions.
If they go corner, defensive tackle, receiver in any 1-2-3 order with their first and two twos,
well,
is every person that watches this team satisfied?
Yes.
Not every person, probably, but
99%.
Wouldn't we say, like, just a corner, a receiver, a defensive tackle? You have jobs available. You have ceilings you'd like guys to step into.
Yep.
You have floors available. Just you have holes. And this kind of gets back to we talked earlier this week about the Rams model and the Niners and the Jaguars. They're starting to do this thing where they're leaving jobs available for rookies because – you don't want to block the paths of those guys. This is something the Sabres have been trying to do. Like, oh, you don't want to block somebody. You got to leave it open. It hasn't exactly worked for them in every scenario. But the Bills here, I mean, there's a corner spot available that is not blocked.
Right.
It is the rookie's job. I'm thinking of Reggie Ragland of the Bills. Rex said he's a starter when he gets off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever they draft in the first round, we are going to talk about, maybe not defensive tackle because of rotations, but the corner is a starter off the bus, and the receiver is a starter off the bus.
Ooh, the receiver they would draft at 30 if they were to do it?
A receiver drafted at 30 rates over Josh Palmer. Does he rate over Keon Coleman?
I don't think he has to rate over those two.
Well, that might be another point about
the corner feels like he has to.
But that might be a point about rotations again too. And this is where
maybe, but like the listed starters on week one, if they draft Matthew Golden at 30, they draft any of the guys at 30, Luther Burden.
I mean, I've seen crazy stuff like Tet McMillan dropping at 25.
Ooh, that seems crazy though.
It seems a little bit nuts, but it could happen.
But they draft a receiver at 30, and I wouldn't be surprised if your listed starters in week one was still Coleman, Palmer, Shakir.
That might be right. On snap counts,
the guy would be in the mix.
Right. The most likely guy to lead them in snap counts of first round rookies taken is a corner.
Well, of those three positions, and I could even for that, you might want to group the whole defensive line together. What's the one that it would feel like you can't not do in the second round then? Because Charles McDonald did a mock draft yesterday that I found interesting from Yahoo. He's got the Bills taking Nick Emmanuel at 30.
Safety.
Who I don't see fall to 30 as often. He's never like super, super high, but that is the big 6'3", 220, super speed, you know, Kyle Hamilton comp guy. They do that.
It's funny. Like
then, now, aren't we talking about going into Friday? If they were to do that, that's one possible outcome that one guy has a mock on. Then all round two, without having a third round pick, would be, all right, which one can we live without here? Can't live without drafting a corner in round two, right? You probably, and then it gets to, how are you going to feel if their defensive line moves after that kind of being the immediate conversation after the season ended? The idea that their defensive line moves is just gonna be Bosa and Ogunjobi and Hoyt. That's right. That's their move. They don't put a high pick into a defensive lineman.
Well, there's two things I would say there.
Because corner, I feel like they just can't. They simply can't go through round two with what they presently have without drafting a corner.
The perception, there's a couple different perceptions, because it really would kind of be the perception that they don't spend premium assets on receiver, which they have if you include pass catcher. The reality is they don't spend premium assets on defensive tackle.
Right.
They just ignore it.
Oliver is the last one, and that's 5 years, 6 years ago.
Oliver and Dwayne Carter. That's it.
Yeah.
That's a big gap. And if they were to come out of the first two rounds of the draft, three picks, not having taken a defensive tackle, the explanation for why is easy. The board didn't fall their way. They didn't like anybody at the spots that they had. If they picked five picks earlier, maybe they get their guy. If they had somebody to agree to a trade, maybe they would.
Can I specialize even more very quickly? When's the last time they put any asset into a one technique defensive tackle? Because we've spent a lot of time this offseason on the differences, right? Between the three technique penetrator smaller guy versus the big guy that's the one technique next to him. What's the most they've spent on that guy? In 5 years, 6 years. Do I have to go back to Latulele, which is 2018 when they did that? That one role, especially, which is, who's the Michigan guy? Kenneth Grant? Is he the one for that? Walter Nolan, maybe? Some of these defensive tackle ideas we've talked about that are bigger, they haven't touched that in a meaningful way in forever. That has been the role where it's just plug and play, basically. So that's one thing that makes like Emin Wori really interesting is you take him and I can get behind the idea that he's got like blue chip potential and you draft him because of the talent, but because you're picking him at a spot where it kind of feels like you already have two starters penciled in, now I'm getting to what's the position I'm ignoring.
Yeah. Well, that's where sunk cost, it's not exactly the same like sunk cost, but if they draft Emin Wori, I'm going to sit here and say, I guess they have their three safety scenarios and guys that move around and guys that give them hybrid roles. Like Michael Hoyt's going to be a chess piece. But you're drafting Emin Wori because he's this freak athlete safety? That's what Cole Bishop is. Cole Bishop's a 9.8 relative athletic score. You took a safety last year in the second round.
Right.
And if you take one in the first round this year, all right, it'd be odd. But you could understand it. It's tough not to think whoever they pick is a statement about who they have. If they take a receiver in the first round, all it means they don't trust Coleman to really take the step forward. It doesn't have to be true. If they take Emin Wori, they don't trust Cole Bishop. You know, we'll see. It's interesting. But three picks in the first two rounds, defensive tackle, corner, receiver is what people, I think, would like to see the diversification be. 803-0550 on that if you want. The Bosa contract. A little interesting there. And we'll get more of your calls in. March Madness memories. You want to share some of those with us? We're going to remember some guys at 9 o'clock. These names are going to be fun. They're going to tickle parts of our brains.
By the way, before we go to break, I didn't mention. So the Bills pick in this mock draft, Emin Wori at 30. 31, Kansas City takes Matthew Golden.
Okay, get out of here.
How are you going to feel that night? If the Bills draft a safety, and then for the second year in a row, the Chiefs have drafted the speed receiver you might want.
Now I've got something for you when we get back. Sam Monson, who we had on 2 days ago, Sam Monson was going Zapruder film breakdown of Matthew Golden's 40 time. And I've never seen anybody do it like this. I want to tell you what he did when we get back, because I found it interesting, the idea of speed on film versus speed at the 40-yard dash versus, and Monson was getting deep into Zapruder film and making me question all realities of the combine. I'll explain when we get back.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean,
I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay. Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Into the front court with 14 to play. He's calling for it. The guy, they switched to Green. Gotta go. Working against Wolf. Gotta get a shot away. Three-pointer. No good. Rebound, Michigan. And they survive the Tritons of UC San Diego. And the Wolverines go on to round two, but boy, do they have to work for it. 68-65. Dusty May's team goes to 26-9.
Tournament time. You know, one thing about the tournament, quick thought on this, and then tell you what Sam Monson had about some receivers, get some calls in as well. Louisville, 8 seed.
Yeah, that was controversial.
Yes, because they were ranked 10th in the country.
Yeah.
And Louisville did a lot of, how dare you do that to us? And
yeah.
You know,
I saw a list of all the 10th ranked teams in the country and where they were seated in the brackets. And I think nobody was ever lower than like a 3 in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they were an 8.
And they got crushed.
They got crushed. Yes, they did. I watched a lot of that game. That was the first game yesterday.
Yeah.
And they were like a one-man show.
Creighton couldn't miss.
The point guard for Louisville, his name escaped me, was amazing. And the rest of the team just got destroyed.
Yeah.
The whole game.
I was impressed. Like, Tennessee was impressive to me. Defensively, Tennessee was really good. Yep. Anyway, so there's that. And then there's North Carolina, who doesn't belong, and they get a win, and they're favored to win again. Which, it's a unfortunate...
It's taken as justification for...
Right. It's a great example of results-ism. You shouldn't be in, but then you get in and win 4 games, and it proves you belong. It's not really how it's supposed to work, but, you know, as it is. 803-0550, our phone number. So just a quick thing on Sam Monson. Saw him doing something yesterday on Matthew Golden and receiver speed and all this, because one of the funny things about the draft in this time of year is guys run for a time, and you'll say, oh, wow, that Matthew Golden, 4.29, was it? That's going to put him in the top 10.
Yeah.
He's a speedster. Now he's going to go up draft boards. He's thought to be a first-round pick. He ran so fast, now he's going to move up draft boards. But then plenty of the film community will watch Golden and say, this guy does not play like a 4.29 guy. It's kind of odd. What is it about this? And Monson was going deep on 40 times and watching the combine and freeze-framing it with his like video... Like a videographer, a video editor almost,
mm-hmm.
and saying the way to get Golden to a 4.29 is that the clock starts late. And you kind of don't, you never assume that that's what happens. Or if he gets out early and they let him out early. We're talking about hundreds of seconds here.
Right.
And do they make him run it again? Laser timed. I can't believe in 2025 we still have pro days where scouts are hand timing guys. That to me is incredible. There was a tweet recently from someone, I don't even know who it was, but they were at a pro day, and it was one of like the big draft guys, Jordan Reed, tweeted out. He's like, here's what the four scouts that clocked blank had. It was four different times. It's like, this is the four, we're just like average him out to figure out his 40 time.
I know. It's wild.
Four people with stopwatches, all with different times.
So he pointed out on Matthew Golden's 40, a video editor says he didn't run a 4.29, he ran a 4.37. Because you can point out that his hand is all the way off the ground and he's well into his start before the clock starts, before it moves to even point one.
Yeah.
Which there's, you know, a little bit of time between zero. I don't know.
Right. Then you're going to go to the thousandth of seconds. Like, does it take a thousandth of a second or a hundredth of a second for him to pick his hand up?
What you get to is, like, these teams right now, the Bills are doing this. And Keon Coleman is a great example of this. Like, Coleman, they do player tracking. What's better, a 40 time or a chip that says how fast you were running?
Mm-hmm.
The gauntlet. He's running very fast. Anyway.
Play speed.
So basically. Maybe Golden's 40, even though he had a very good 40, teams will look at that and say, we don't buy that. You know, your draft Nick might buy that, but the Bills and these other teams might say, like, yeah, I mean, he ran a good 40, but his play speed on film isn't that fast. Then it only takes one team to buy it. Whatever. I like Golden as an idea for the Bills.
I've watched his highlights. The play speed looks fine there, too. Not saying he's 4.29.
No, it just doesn't look 4.29.
Hey, he's 4.37.
Yeah.
That's still really fast.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Dan and Ellicottville on the tournament. Hey, Dan, good morning.
Morning, guys. Yeah, you guys are talking about watching in school, and this isn't about the tournament, but about watching a significant sporting event. In second grade, we used to get dragged down. The whole school got dragged down to the gym when they drag in a big old box TV to watch the World Series. And I'm sure people think of the World Series. In 1969, the World Series, all the games were at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which is hard to believe. That every World Series game. So games one and two were on the weekend, but three, four, and five were Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We get dragged down there and we get to watch the first three innings. And it was at a time when the Mets were in. It was the Mets Orioles, and the Yankees were terrible and a terrible period for them. One of their worst stretches ever in the history of the club. So everybody kind of became a Mets fan. We even adopted them in Western New York. And I was a huge baseball fan back then, and became a Mets fan. And then the worst part was just sitting on the bus on the way home. I was like the last guy off the bus. And so I had 25 minutes on the bus, and I basically missed innings 4, 5, and 6, wondering what was going on. I'd go home, watch the end of the game. And then the game's over by 3:30. I mean, the longest game in that series it's hard to believe now, it took 2:33 to play the longest game in that series. Every other game was like between 2:10 and 2:33, but it just really struck a chord and I know Shope on the afternoon show, has this show ever sounded older? I'm sure at the moment this show has never sounded older.
That's okay.
Yeah, that really brought back a great memory for me. So thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Like, games, of course, like that far would have been played during the day. I was just about to ask Joe this instant trivia question, which, depending on how old you are, you might or might not know this.
Mm-hmm.
Night games, right? When was the first night game played at Wrigley Field? Chicago.
Oh, I know that they didn't have lights forever, right? So, like, the 60s, 70s?
Keep going.
80s? 90s?
Late 80s. The first night game at Wrigley Field was 1988.
Wow. How'd they get seasons in?
Now, 1988 is a long time ago, which just doesn't feel like it's that long ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for a ballpark that opened in, like, 1904 or something, probably.
Yeah.
For Wrigley.
Thanks, Dan, for the phone call. Memories of watching sports in school. It would have been, the tournament is the number one event. For me, not World Series.
I can't remember.
If in the 60s, you could do that. What else did school stop for?
I don't remember anything else.
Here's what else it stopped for when I was in high school. The OJ verdict.
Oh, okay.
That happened.
Ours stopped, a senior maybe this year? The day that they were chasing the Boston Marathon bomber.
All right.
Where they didn't know where he was, but he was...
I remember that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the day that
whole day
stopped.
Was... Every classroom was just that the news was on. The whole day.
I don't remember it, but we were watching the Challenger when I was in school.
Okay.
I was in second grade, I think,
Yeah. Sports-wise, though, nothing. I don't remember anything but the tournament.
It's the tournament, and past that...
It would have to be baseball.
Or Olympics, maybe one of these years where it's the time zones are,
okay.
You know, stuff's happening early.
Yeah.
If there's a U.S. hockey game early in the morning.
Yep. That's right. Oh, I do. Okay, wait. Well, this wouldn't have been a broadcast, though. How are we watching it? I remember in first grade watching the Iditarod on TV. Yes. I don't remember how. It was the live Iditarod.
What first grade teacher doesn't stop for the Iditarod?
Right. Yeah, maybe the teacher was really into it.
Into dogs? Alaska?
Yeah.
What else is on the list of things you stopped to watch in school? Then, of course, now that you can stream whatever on your phone, you could just go ahead and watch, you know.
Now, yeah, right now you can just do whatever.
Just watch Love is Blind. If you want.
You know, I feel like grading papers today. I'm just going to throw this on. It's called Love is Blind. Yeah, no.
803-0550. Thanks for the phone call, Dan. Sal's coming up today, 10 o'clock at Wayland. We've got a couple of draft parties to announce, by the way. I'm waiting for permission to announce our draft parties. But we got a draft party. So the draft, of course, is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. And if people want to come hang out with us and stress over what they do, we're going to have a party on Thursday for the first round, and we're having a party on Friday.
Friday will be fun.
They'll both be fun. I mean,
yeah,
the first round pick, 2 second round picks on the Friday. Like, we're going to have a draft party on Thursday and Friday out at some of your favorite local establishments.
So. Rounds 2 and 3 on a weekend day for Friday night is going to be sweet. So, hey, if it goes Emin Wari, Golden, Bills, Chiefs, that'll be a fun draft party if that happens.
If the Bills do not pick in the first round for a second consecutive year that we have a draft party, we will be taking the draft party on the road to One Bills Drive to stand outside Brandon Bean's office window and be like, dude,
yep,
we're trying to have a party.
Yeah.
Can you not?
You gotta make a pick.
You not? He'll trade up this year. I'll take that bet. He'll trade up this year.
What if they trade it first for Hendrickson?
Hot take alert.
Is that the only person that's even a smidgen available that would cost a first? I think so.
Maybe. Hot take alert on Trey Hendrickson. Saw it just moments ago. Bart Scott on ESPN. See what he said?
No.
Bart Scott on ESPN. I know he said it because they put the words on the screen underneath to say, like, you know, if you're watching this at a place where the... Bart Scott says that Joe Burrow spat in the face of Trey Hendrickson by advocating for Higgins and Chase and not for Hendrickson.
Okay. Well, does he know that Burrow didn't advocate for Hendrickson?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think he would know.
Burrow
that
just
he
said,
didn't.
Let's pay our guys. But Bart Scott says he spat in the face of Trey Hendrickson.
I mean, I could get why you might think Burrow pushed for his receiver more than the defensive end, but I don't think that has to mean he didn't push for them to sign Hendrickson, too. I mean, yeah. Whitworth tells the story there that, like, Allen was pumped up about Bosa signing. He's not throwing to Joey Bosa.
Yeah, I think Burrow wants Hendrickson.
Yeah, I think he would want his team to keep every great player possible. I don't know. That's a bit of a hot take, in my opinion.
803-0550.
Still not signed, by the way, Hendrickson.
Still not signed. Yep. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring. We're going to remember some guys. Top of the hour. It's going to be a good time.
I am tired of the disrespect laid at the feet of the defensive player. It starts with Joe Burrow, a.k.a. Macaulay Culkin. If one thing the Super Bowl taught us is that offense wins games, defense wins championships. While he's showing all the love to his brothers there, he's spitting in the face of Trey Henderson because he should be advocating for him. In what world, D. Wood, do you pay the second receiver on your team before you pay arguably the best defensive end in all of football? Last year, 17 and a half sacks, over 57 sacks in over 4 years, and this guy's the 55th highest paid defensive player in football. Mm. Disrespectful. Pay the man his money.
Bart Scott on Trey Hendrickson. Quick thing. Want an NCAA tournament fact of the day?
Sure.
It's a cool one. You learn about these schools through the tournament. Maybe you'd never heard of Wofford before. When we were watching Tennessee and Wofford, one of the things that happens is my kids will ask, like, who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? Every game, who are the good guys? And if we're watching the Bills, and the bad guys are the Chiefs. And if it's a game where we kind of don't care who wins, I say, well, you can root for whoever you want. Wofford or Tennessee? My son said, I'm going to root for Waffle because I like waffles. So he was rooting for Wofford. Anyway, the fun fact of the day is about Wofford. Now, right. I'm sad that they're gone.
Yeah, because they got lost yesterday.
It's a 15.
You may not have noticed this, but had you picked this up on the broadcast, you might have thought, hey, what's the deal with the Wofford band?
Yeah.
So if you watched the Wofford and Tennessee and they showed you the pep band, you might have thought, is this an episode of Old School? Like, why are these old people in the band?
Hmm.
And that's because Wofford does not have a band. So the band that they have is made up of alumni and people from the area. They just play in the band for Wofford. Yes, okay. It's not a student band.
It's alumni and just whoever wants to do it.
Yep.
Basically.
Alumni from the university and members of the city of Spartanburg, South Carolina, where the school is. You just have people show, like, I'll be in the band.
Yeah.
And you could be in the Wofford band.
Interesting. Anybody could, really.
Yeah, well, there's not a rule against it.
Yeah, but they're going to check my residency?
That's a good question. Could you have 6 months ago, or at the start of the year, said, I'd like to be in the Wofford band?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Hmm.
But there you go. Also, I've been given permission to tell you about our draft parties.
All right.
Ready?
Ready, let's go.
Announcement music? We'll do some announcement music? What do you got? This is where
something
I look at Josh and say, announcement, intense. Announcement music. See what he comes up with.
What's the most intense music you
could be
get in 20 seconds?
Could be Jingle Cats. Could be trombone.
The Pirates of the Caribbean.
Anything you want. Announce music. We're going to have draft parties. Two draft parties coming up. So the draft is a little more than a month away. Today's the first day of spring, according to the calendar. First day of spring is actually March 1st. But
yeah, first round will be on Thursday, April 24th.
And we will be at, here's your announcement music.
Good. This is good.
A return trip to Resurgence Brewing. We were there. We had a heck of a party last year.
Yes, we did. When the Bills didn't make a pick.
Also returning for our draft party. The wide receiver big board.
Still going.
I don't know if it's going to be empty.
It's empty right now.
It is empty right now.
We got a couple. I think we can get a couple names on there.
I'll make a point. So Thursday, we're going to be at Resurgence for the first round. And then Friday for day two, rounds two and three.
When they draft a running back. We will be at?
You can pour me a tall beer when they draft a running back. We'll be at Wayland Friday.
Yes.
So draft parties Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, we won't have to be in on Saturday morning, so if they draft a running back, Friday might be a late night.
Yeah.
Close the place down.
Worst. All right, ready? Fun, quick game.
We'll be at Wayland, though.
Your worst 1-2-3 draft order.
Positionally?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Here's mine.
Okay.
First round, running back.
Okay.
Second round, tight end. Third round.
They don't have a third round. So second round again.
Second round again.
Kyle McCord.
Safety.
Safety?
I don't want to get that mad about a safety.
Kyle McCord.
And tight end's not
realistic. Offensive lineman.
Either.
Quarterback.
Lineman, you know, whatever. If they draft a running back in one of those first
running
three picks,
back first.
The party is immediately canceled.
Running back first, tight end second is great.
You mean and how bad it is?
Linebacker. And running back, tight end, linebacker.
They need linebacker help, man. They're going to need linebacker.
Maybe.
Milano's got one more year. How'd they get Bernard? How'd they get Dorian Williams? They draft him. We say, why are you doing that? And then they have to play.
Dorian Williams is pretty good.
All right. When we get back, we will return to one of our favorite things to do on a Friday. We'll remember some guys.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.
Homes.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.